This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You are about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I gotta keep loving you.
All right. We are back with Dr. Dahlia Show. 1-877-DOC-DALI. 1-877-DOC-DALI. So we knew this would happen. As we were going to open up, the economy was going to open up, and businesses were going to reopen and allow people to come back and work with others and get back to their desk or their office, we knew that there would be a large portion of the population saying, no, I kind of like being home. Right? Yeah, it's been a year. I got used to it. I have a new pet. I get to see my kids more. I'm not excited about going back. And so we see, you know, companies, or we see the states and the country start to open up. We hear all businesses could be at 100%. We go to these businesses that are opening up, and we're excited. They look busy. You see staff. You see people eating. You see people going into the store. It's not like it was pre-pandemic. But on the outset, superficially, it looks great. Until you're at the restaurant and you notice that it's taking forever for you to get, you know, a refill on your water or your food. Or you see it takes forever. You see a table that was just emptied. People just left. The party just left. And the table hasn't been cleaned, hasn't been wiped down, and it sits there for a while. And so you start to see that the normal flow of things that would be before pandemic is a little different. And then you start to count the staff and you look around. This is something I do. I'm like, okay, there's less people working. There's not enough people to be working for this reopening that we're seeing. And you realize that employers have a tough time getting people to come back. Well, there's been surveys, multiple different surveys out there, where people are not enthusiastic to come back. And so you would think that as an employee, you had upper hand, right? I don't want to come back. I don't feel it's safe. I was able to do a job at home. Let me do my job at home. The problem is this competition might be fierce. Even though there's a whole slew of people out there that don't want to go back to work, there's others that do. There's people out there like me that, man, I need to be around other people. I can't be home. You know, I like being home. I like my schedule. But I need to be around other people. I just have to. I like the social aspect. I'm going to want to be there. And so you might not be able to keep your job. And we spoke about what to do if you weren't ready. We talked about this about a month or two ago, where what to do if you don't want to go back to work and you're hoping you don't get fired and how you could still work from home. So talked about having to sit down with your boss, see what you could do in terms of, you know, still being able to complete your task virtually. But remember, you know, out of sight, out of mind. You got somebody else that's there at the office. You know, flirting with the boss, going, oh, I can handle this. Just give the job to me. I'll have it done before you could even Zoom, you know, my coworker. And so you are going to be at a disadvantage if you don't go back to work and you're vaccinated and we're not concerned of the COVID pandemic. Of course, if there is a COVID pandemic, then you're at a disadvantage being around others. So, you know, I think Citigroup CEO said we're going to have Zoom-free Fridays. Because of the pandemic and the workload, we won't have Zoom meetings on Fridays. So that might help people, allow them, if they are working from home, to still be in their pajamas, you know, still be able to you know, take things a little lighter, take things a little slower. But the concept of the workday has changed. I forget if it was Google or one of these companies, a whistleblower talked about how being an intern, they had to work 100-hour weeks. And so I believe the CEO said, look, we're going to make sure you have Saturdays off. We're going to change that. But in medicine, I mean, we have 36-hour shifts back-to-back. 100-hour week was kind of the norm when you were in training. Now, I'm not saying that should be the norm from here on out, but a 40-hour work week is what we arbitrarily came up with, 9 to 5 or 8 to 5 with an hour lunch. And it sometimes doesn't work for people. I mean, if I had a job that was only 40 hours a week, that would be cush. I couldn't imagine just working 40 hours. I couldn't imagine that. But still, for some people, that's very intimidating. And I get you. I get why it's intimidating. Because the way I like to do a job is I don't like the whole clocking in. Clock in, do your work, clock out. I don't like that. I like the idea of this is your job. This is your project. Do the project. I don't care if you do it on a Saturday. I don't care if you do it at night. I don't care if you want to wake up at 5 a.m. so that you can go hiking during the workday. But just get that project done. Now, some people will say, well, yeah, how does that work in retail or medicine? Or, well, you could do it that way. I mean, if people are having such an issue with the clocking in and clocking out, and they want that freedom to, in the middle of the day, go to the bathroom or go and walk the dog or go and watch a TV show, then give them tasks. For example, with retail, you need to help 100 customers a day. So you can leave after you've helped those 100 customers and or those clients or patients. Now, I mean, I would see about 60 in a 12-hour shift, so 100 would have meant I'd be there longer. But let's say, look, we need you to see this many patients. And we'll have people come in at different times. Once you get that job done, or we don't care if you come in throughout the day, but these are the number of patients we need you to see. Now, somebody can say that's impossible. How does anybody run a business that way? It's already happening. So I work for a couple telemedicine companies, and they have that luxury where I could just log in, see however many patients I want to, log out, see the one I want to. They don't give me a limit. Some will give a limit. Some will say we want you to see this amount. Luckily, mine doesn't. And if I want to see somebody at 10 o'clock at night, I can. If I want to see somebody at 6 in the morning, I can. If I want to see somebody in the middle of the day, I can. And so we've started to change the way we do work days. Now, mind you, if you have a fast food establishment, you need people coming in, clocking in, and being there to serve customers. But a lot of other jobs might not need customer service or people to be there. So how long should a work day be? We've come up with the 8-hour work day, but maybe, you know, for some industries, we just need to change it as this is the production I need. If you could do it in under 40 hours, great. As long as you don't do it halfway. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY number one.
As a bald man, on a per follicle basis, haircuts usually aren't a great value to me. But at Supercuts, I can have an experienced stylist recommend the perfect cut for an affordable price, even if my options are limited. And while my hair-to-dollar ratio is good, yours is off the charts. Because Supercuts won't just cut your hair. They'll obsess over it until you look amazing, then finish with a hot towel refresher to top it all off. And from my personal bald perspective, that's what I call hair rich. Don't take your hair for granted. Take it to Supercuts.
Hey guys, gals, Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around a dollar a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Dr. Dolly Show, thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, 1-877-DOC-DALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Jason who's working the dials. And big thanks to y'all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dolly and on Facebook, The Dr. Dolly Show. So a New York nursing home, we are being told, collapses in a massive fire. One has died. A firefighter, I believe, is currently missing. After a massive fire brought down a nursing home building, I think it's still currently on fire, and the blaze is at Evergreen Court, an assisted living facility in Spring Valley, about 40 miles north of Manhattan. Two firefighters tried to stop the flames. They suffered, suffered smoke inhalation. One was taken to a local hospital after having a heart attack. Fire officials said one of the facility's 133 residents died at the hospital. 23 of the 27 volunteer fire departments in Rutherford County, New York, responded to the scene. More than 100 firefighters. This is just so tragic. The missing firefighter is from the local Spring Valley Fire Department. He was reportedly on the third floor attempting to rescue residents when parts of the structure began to collapse. He then sent out a distress call. The mayday was answered, but with the extent of the fire and the volume of the fire, the conditions were just too unbearable. Where firefighters went in, they couldn't locate the firefighter, and they headed back out. Man, so a mini excavator is being brought in an effort right now. Earlier reports indicated that people might have been trapped inside. First responders had been evacuating people for a while outside the building, and some of the seniors had been evacuated to another facility. Another eyewitness, Mark Kennedy, posted pictures and videos of the blaze. They said you could see it for miles. The fire, they said, was raging for about 2 hours, maybe more, before the building caved in. Firefighters and emergency personnel, they said, continued to fight it until the early hours of the morning. Choppers brought in. So we'll keep you posted on that. I tell you, you know, having worked at a hospital, they have you go through fire drills. And in some hospitals, the doors close and seal to protect each patient in their particular room if you can't evacuate everybody safely. Some of the older hospitals might not have all the new, shall we say, updates. I mean, everybody's supposed to have the sprinkler system and all that, but there's, you know, in terms of like fireproof doors and heat resistant walls and things like that, not all buildings are built like that. And so unfortunately some of these buildings, especially, you know, back east that might be older, some of them 50, 60, 70, 80 years old, 100 years old, will unfortunately just, you know, burn to ashes. So thank God they were able to get 132 people out of there. We'll keep you posted on that. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So very, very tragic. A woman died who had been a spring breaker, just, you know, having fun in Miami. And two men have been accused of drugging her, raping her, robbing her, and giving her a, quote, green pill before taking her back to her hotel in South Beach. Evore Collier, 21, and Dorian Taylor, 24, are from Greensboro, North Carolina, and they were arrested in the connection of 24-year-old Christine Engelhardt's death. They're accused of raping her before stealing her phone, cash and credit cards, and used her cash and credit cards as they continued on partying. Her semi-naked dead body was found in her hotel room on Thursday. They're trying to figure out how she died, what was in this pill, or if there was any other cause of death. And so Collier and Taylor are now facing charges of burglary, battery, sexual battery, petty theft, credit card fraud, and they could face murder and manslaughter charges if tests show that the drug they gave her played a role in her death. Now, you know, spring break, this has been a very, very weird spring break. We spoke about this yesterday. With the pandemic, we thought that when we did open up, it would look like it did pre-pandemic. People partying, making videos, doing selfies, having fun, flirting with each other, cruising the boardwalk, and then, you know, yeah, some of them hooking up, some of them not, and, you know, going home, sleeping it off, being hungover, typical spring break. And we know that, unfortunately, during these parties, that's where people are slipping people, you know, medicines and roofies we're aware that these sort of things always happened, and we tried to warn, you know, our young, you know, children and nieces and nephews, you know, be careful of that. Don't accept a drink from somebody else. Don't take a drug. I know you might think it's ecstasy and you want to get high, but don't put anything in your mouth. You just don't know what it is. It might look like something that's going to make you high and it ends up being a roofie. Just don't go there. Don't do that. And, you know, we warn to the best we can, but this, it just seems to me that these spring break parties that we're having this year, or some of the, you know, the raves or people getting together, just, it's having different undertones of violence, of stress, anxiety, of fights, and I don't understand why. You know, you would think that we would be, you know, so happy to be alive and not having to deal with lockdowns as much and, you know, able to start going back to normal, that, you know, people would have some sort of a camaraderie. And they don't. I think over the last year, we have we have started to have more of an anti-person attitude. Now, I'm not saying rapes and murders are going to go up, but I do find it odd that you had somebody last week shooting up, you know, three massage parlors, and then yesterday somebody going into Boulder, Colorado, King Supers, and killing multiple people. And, you know, we've seen and heard of gang rapes, unfortunately, and, you know, all sorts of, violent things that can happen during parties. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know if we're going to see more violence. We hear about it all the time in the media, and I haven't watched the numbers and the statistics, and we're being told things are getting more violent. But we didn't know if it was, well, because there were riots and, you know, because there were protests and this, you know, once the election, you know, went one way or another, we would see that die down. I don't know if we're going to see that die down. I think people are very, very frustrated. I think people realize that they have nothing to lose. They've lost their job. They've lost loved ones. They've lost, you know, career. They, you know, when you tell people, gosh, you know, you don't want to go to jail. You don't want to do something stupid because, you know, it'll ruin your life. Some people are already looking at their lives as, well, it's ruined. I'm not blaming public officials and lockdown so much for that, but it all contributes. You know, the idea, I mean, one reason why I, when I would be hungry, didn't steal a candy bar from a store and get busted for shoplifting is because I'm like, it's not worth it. I have a career, I have a life, I have goals, I have dreams. You know, I didn't commit crimes because it's wrong. And I'm also, you know, religious in to a degree. And I, you know, I'm like, look, you know, it's not worth it. It is not worth it. I have one life to live, and I'm, you know, going to make it a good one. And I got dreams and I got goals. I don't know if people have dreams. I ask younger people all the time, you know, what have you always wanted to be? You know, what are some of your dreams? What are some of your goals? And I keep getting the same answer. I don't know. Whatever we pictured as kids, these kids don't have those pictures. And it's more of a living for the day. It's more, it's just a whole different attitude. Apparently this girl was visiting, I think, from Pennsylvania. Officers said two men met her at a local restaurant, gave her the drug, walked along Ocean Drive. Group headed back to the Albion Hotel on James Avenue. Surveillance footage taken from the hotel lobby shows the two men entering the hotel with her around 1 a.m. As they walked into the elevator in the building, she was staggering, and one of the men was holding her from behind by the neck so she could stand. That's according to Miami Beach Detective Louis Alcina. Caller said he and Taylor each had sex with her, but that Taylor raped her as she seemed to be unconscious. Police said Engelhardt was not able to have consented to sex with either of the two men while under the influence of alcohol and narcotics. So they think it might have been narcotics. Then they stole her phone, cash, credit cards, left her unconscious in the room. You know, as a woman, I was always told, you know, if you're going to go out, make sure you have somebody. Make sure you have a buddy. But I can't tell you how many times that buddy went off with somebody. You can't, everybody's like, well, why was somebody partying alone? Well, because, you know, if somebody else gets to hook up with somebody else, they're going to leave you. They're going to be like, are you okay? Yeah, I could get home by myself. I'm fine. I can't tell you how many times. And that actually happened to me. The reason why I was assaulted is I had to get home by myself. And so, you know, I'm not sure what the answer is, but it's definitely not, it's a different world, but it also unfortunately has the same bad things that we need to still avoid, no matter whether it's post-pandemic or not. 1-877-DOCTOR-DELLY.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my Sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Boulder, Colorado police are identifying the alleged shooter who they say took 10 lives at a grocery store.
This suspect has been identified as Ahmad Alyssa, 21, of Arvada. He has been charged with 10 counts of murder in the first degree and will be shortly transported to Boulder County Jail.
Maris Harold, police chief in Boulder, Colorado. The police also releasing the names of the 10 victims. The youngest was 20. The oldest was 65. Police saying they're still very early in this investigation and are searching for a motive. Former CDC director Dr. Tom Frieden says the coronavirus vaccines have already saved thousands of American lives. Dr. Frieden also saying without proof that the United States is likely to see another surge in COVID-19 cases, but it will be far less deadly than the earlier surges because people are getting vaccinated. You're listening to USA Radio News. At least one resident is dead and two firefighters injured in a blaze that destroyed a Spring Valley, New York assisted living facility. There's no word yet on what caused the fire. Crews spent hours battling the flames and had to help some two dozen residents out of the building. With more on one of our top stories of the day, an officer is being hailed a hero and being identified in the Boulder, Colorado grocery store shooting.
The officer killed has been identified as 51-year-old Officer Eric Talley. Boulder Police Chief Maris Harold says Officer Talley joined the Boulder Police Department in 2010.
At 14:30 hours, the Boulder Police Department began receiving phone calls of shots fired in the area and a phone call about a possible person with a patrol rifle. Officer Talley responded to the scene, was the first on the scene, and he was fatally shot.
From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
Guys, we are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. So, Sinovac is the vaccine they're using in China, and they say it is safe for children as young as 3 years old. 3 years old. This is according to preliminary data and has been submitted to Chinese drug regulators. More than 70 million shots of Sinovac's vaccine have been given worldwide, including China. They have approved its use in adults, but it hasn't been approved yet in children because the immune systems might respond differently and they need to test it. But early and mid-stage clinical trials with over 550 subjects showed the vaccine would induce an immune response. Interesting. Two recipients did develop high fevers in response to the vaccine. One was 3 and the other was 6 years old. But the rest of the trial subjects experienced mild symptoms, showing that the vaccine is safe and would elicit potentially useful immune response against SARS-CoV-2 is very welcome. That's according to Eng Ong Oi, a professor at the Duke NUS Medical School in Singapore, who is co-leading the development of a separate COVID-19 vaccine. However, he said the data presented publicly by the company was not enough to give a conclusive answer of the findings. Now, some have asked, you know, why would we be vaccinating kids if kids are less likely to get ill? Well, the reason why is we're trying to shoot for herd immunity. And we have, what, 40, 50 million? How many? I think we have maybe 65 million kids. And I need to look at the numbers in the United States. And children, you know, unfortunately, children many times don't get counted, you know, in the population. The census needs to be, I think, you know, kind of fine-tuned when many people don't fill them out properly. And so when we look at the amount of population we need to vaccinate, when you look at the amount, number of adults that don't want to get the shot, it is going to rely on kids also not spreading the disease. And just because a child doesn't get a full-on, usually, some children unfortunately have been affected and have died from this, but for the most part, because children don't get severe illness, they don't allow the virus to replicate to a severe degree, and therefore they're not considered big spreaders or super spreaders. They could still spread the virus. They could get the virus, sneeze on you, and spread it to an adult. But they themselves might not be very sick. So there is this push to get children vaccinated to hopefully reach herd immunity. Now, many parents out there are a little nervous. They don't want their kids to get another vaccine. They might be pro-vaccine, but the kids do get a lot of vaccines, and some parents out there are nervous about that, saying, if my kids aren't going to be sick, you know, why am I injecting them? And when public officials say, well, it's for the greater good, we want them vaccinated to hopefully protect adults, now, it's going to be a tougher sell. So I don't know how many people are going to be enthusiastic about vaccinating their children against these newer vaccines. You know, I told my children that I feel it's safe, I want them to get it, but I'm not going to force them if they don't want to. Our approach to the virus, I understand a lot of people feel it's arbitrary and they want more data and they want more proof, and we've been kind of racing against time. We're racing against the variants. And so I wouldn't be surprised if public officials say, look, it's been approved, get kids vaccinated. And if parents don't want to, then school districts might feel the heat to say kids can't go back to school unless they're vaccinated. One of you had reached out last week and had asked, why don't more parents, you know, fight back when it comes to vaccines and vaccine safety? Well, it's difficult because, you know, many of us never saw polio. You know, we didn't, you know, see somebody die of tetanus. We, you know, didn't see family members have hepatitis. A child become dehydrated with rotavirus. I mean, I've seen people with a whole gamut of the illnesses that we vaccinate for, and I don't want my children getting any of those illnesses. So I vaccinated. Now, I feel fortunate that both my sons were exposed to chickenpox before they received the chickenpox vaccine, but it was really mild. They had a couple spots. I don't think they were exposed to the chickenpox that I might have been as a kid. So we vaccinated our children, and I felt I didn't want my kids to get polio. I didn't want my kids to get tetanus. We had a family member die of tetanus. We take that stuff seriously. But in terms of safety data, I understand why parents want transparency. You know, our parents, and I've spoken about this, when a parent is not enthusiastic about a vaccine, they get immediately labeled as an anti-vaxxer. And they get ridiculed, and they get marginalized. And for me, I'm not going to judge, but I want to know that a person is putting their child's health first. So I can't fault every parent I meet who says, look, doc, you know, I appreciate vaccines. I'm just scared to inject something into my healthy baby. Look at my healthy baby. He's just sitting there happy and healthy. What if I'm wrong? And what you're about to inject into my baby hurts him. I can't argue with that parent because they love their kid. Now, somebody not getting the vaccines because they're getting high and they're not taking the kid to the doctor's visit and they're neglecting the kid, that's neglect. But if somebody's like, look, you know, I saw this, I read this, I heard this, I'm scared. And I'd rather take my chances. That's where it starts to get to be a little bit of a dilemma for us doctors. Because we feel vaccines protect the child more. But that mom or dad is making a decision because they love that child. So it's our job to educate and to give them the data and give them the safety information. What ends up happening, though, is the government doesn't trust a lot of us in the public. And they think that if there is a report of a 0.00001% chance of a child getting, let's say, an encephalopathy or a Guillain-Barré or et cetera, that a parent would read that and panic and say, not for my kid. And so many of the way the government works and the way the health systems work is they want to be transparent, but they think people are going to freak out and then there's going to be misinformation spread and then all their efforts will fall apart. There's you know, many opportunities for people to educate themselves, and we don't know what people are educating themselves on. Facebook and Twitter want to prevent, you know, content that can be wrong. You know, somebody would say, well, why aren't we, you know, reviewing the content and making sure it's not wrong? Well, that's subjective too. How do we know it's wrong? If somebody said their child got an adverse reaction to the vaccine, are they wrong or are they trying to tell the truth? And then, you know, is it being censored? Is it being silenced? So it's difficult. And as a doctor that's pro-vaccine, I get it. I get why people are concerned. And I get why people think that the government might not tell them. You know, when you hear of people dying after getting the COVID vaccine, and immediately the next day we're told, not vaccine related, not vaccine related, move on. And people are like, really? Did you study it enough? Really? We're hearing a few cases of liver failure. We're seeing some people collapse. I know it's rare, but can you please tell us? But the government thinks that we're going to, you know, take it the next level and we won't be on board. And the government needs us all on board. The government needs us all following like sheep. So there is supposed to be transparency. There are supposed to be websites out there, and there are. And the CDC does give information. But when it comes to, you know, vaccination programs and protocols, they want everybody to follow suit. And it's, I understand it's frustrating. And as a parent, I vaccinated my kids. Was I nervous? Yeah, I was nervous. Because, you know, nothing's 100% safe. But I'm pro-vaccine, and I think, you know, not vaccinating could put you at higher risk. I know people ask, why aren't we doing prostate screens? Well, because they think that people, you know, are going to, you know, get unnecessary procedures because some of them could be false negative. So it's all about calming people down. But I get why people are frustrated. 1-877-DOCTOLLY.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Hey guys, Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safely.
Hello, I'm a bald person, which means when I walk past a conveniently located Supercuts, it's a harsh, not-so-convenient reminder of the hair I no longer have. And when their friendly stylist tells me I can save time by checking in online, I tell them I save plenty of time already by not having much hair to cut. So while I might not be able to take full advantage of having amazing, affordable haircuts always close by, you, those with hair, can. Don't take your hair for granted. Take it to Supercuts.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store, or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
We are back on Dr. Dahlia's show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCDALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So I really love history, and I like to look back at history, and I like to see parallels. We talked about the Dust Bowl and how we might see some parallels now as dust has been kind of starting to be more pervasive in the Great Plains, and we're headed for, again, another bad drought this year and La Nina conditions, and we're seeing weird flooding and, you know, some interesting sort of weather patterns, some scary weather patterns that might mimic kind of what led to the Dust Bowl in the 30s. And so I've been looking at what happened with the Spanish flu. We keep talking about the Spanish flu when we talk about COVID. Well, the Spanish flu, they had to wear masks. The Spanish flu, they had to do lockdowns. and nobody complained, and America was fine with it then. And I'm like, okay, well, let's talk about what happened during the Spanish flu. Right? Spanish flu killed about 50 million people globally, 675,000, I believe, in the United States, more than who died in World War I. And it affected us in the year 1918, and it extended to 1920. So Spanish flu had three, maybe four waves. People were still dying 2 years later of the Spanish flu. What caused it? Well, it was an H1N1 virus. It was a flu virus. They believe it had to do with the troops as we entered the World War in 1917. And as troops were coming back, we saw clusters in Kansas, in Boston, where troops were coming back and living in close quarters and training or being shipped out. And so they believe that, you know, the flu was spread very easily as we were bouncing between continents. And then once it took hold here and our immune systems were prepared for something like that, it seemed to be pretty pervasive. Now, we always talk about the Roaring Twenties. Gosh, Roaring Twenties were fun, great music. We had jazz. We had interesting, not my favorite sort of fashion, but a lot of fashion booms, a lot of industrial and innovation booms. In the 1920s was the Roaring Twenties. And economy improved, but how is that related to the Spanish flu? Did the Spanish flu lead to the Roaring Twenties? Well, after the Spanish flu, there was a pretty bad drop with the economy because of the economic hardship. You would think that the economy would boom after World War II ended. World War I ended, so you would think there'd be an economic boom, but it was still sluggish. In fact, in the U.S., I believe we had a recession from 1920 to 1921. After the pandemic ended. Now, you see how we might be having some similarities with COVID. COVID, we have waves. We might be going into our third wave or fourth wave. It depends on how you've been counting. We're in a recession. So how quickly are we going to bounce back? Now, what changed also and made things very different is Prohibition started. Prohibition started in 1920, ended until the 30s. And you had the Roaring Twenties, which was supposed to be one of the most exciting, you know, times in people's lives and partying it up. And yeah, alcohol helped lead to that, but technically we were in Prohibition. Why? Well, there were groups concerned about the religious ramifications, crime. They thought alcohol fueled crime. Nobody talks about, were they also worried that alcohol fueled virus spread? Nobody talks about the Spanish flu killing 675,000 people and the paranoia that might have set in then. We talk about the paranoia now, but nobody was really paranoid about that. Do we really think Prohibition was just about religious groups? Couldn't it also have been that people freaked out that if people were together and partying it up, they could spread the virus again? I wouldn't be surprised if that came into play, because look at what happened with us. Bars got closed down. Well, because you guys are going to drink. They didn't do Prohibition in 2020, but they sure closed down bars. They stopped parties. Now, I don't think Prohibition is coming back. I don't think America ever wants that, because I think a lot of our leaders drink. Okay? I mean, I'm sure that would not be popular. But we really have a lot of parallels. I apologize, my nose is running, to what happened after the Spanish flu. Spanish flu had multiple waves. Spanish flu killed hundreds of thousands of Americans. We're going to be reaching the 600,000 mark, unfortunately. And then there was government controls, government restrictions, yeah, recession. But then we have the Roaring Twenties. I like being positive. I like being optimistic. Right? Could we have a Roaring Twenties? Now, people have predicted we will. That people are going to go out and party, and they're going to just love life. And after the restrictions, they're going to say, you know what, YOLO, we only live once, we're going to enjoy ourselves. And I'm seeing a pattern like we saw with Miami Beach. We see with Las Vegas, all right? People are, whatever money they have, They're spending, and they're spending on entertainment. They're spending on alcohol. However, I just don't know if we're going to have the same sort of economic boom and same societal boom as we saw in the 1920s. Now, you would think we would do better because we have vaccines. We might get over this pandemic quicker. Them, it took 2 years. From 1918 to 1920. Well, what are we being told? We're being told still 1920, maybe 2022, we'll be over it. So still, whether we have vaccines or not, we're still possibly looking at a possible two-year stretch. And remember, this started at the end of 2019. Nobody's going to admit it, but we had tons of cases of flu or whatever at the end of 2019. But people were using telemedicine. They weren't getting swabbed for flu. So we don't know. So we might be reaching our two-year mark by this fall. Very similar. Then, with stimulus checks, maybe people will spend. People obviously want to party. We're seeing people want to party. But in the 1920s, there was a lot of innovation. They after World War I, there was all this push to, you know, make things easier, to industrialize things, because we realized that other countries had better things than us. And there was this need to be superior and this need to not have another power be as pervasive and as dominating. So are we going to have that same incentive? Are we going to see another revolution, an industrial revolution, or a technical revolution? Now, I think we are, to some degree. I think that I've spoken to many of you guys about this, about how if you wanted to invent something or you wanted to come up with a new career, this is the time, because this is when society is doing things differently. Right? They're not maybe going out to eat as often. They're staying home. They're not maybe going to the movie. They're staying home. They might not be going back to work. They're staying home. So there will be this big push for new type of, you know, stay-at-home entertainment, stay-at-home exercise equipment. You know, I have an Oculus, and there's a workout I could do using my Oculus at home, and it is cooler than any gym. I love the gym. I love the smell of the gym. I love being in the gym. But I got to tell you, it's pretty cool that I could do a virtual sort of workout at home. I really want to get one where you could ski. I need like an Oculus that could ski. I think they had an old version, but I have the Oculus too. So there will be inventions. There will be technological changes. But what really mattered during the Roaring Twenties is this push to be the best. And this push to be, you know, America wasn't considered the most dominating country and, you know, the best country in all the world. That happened later. And so we in America now, are we going to want to show that we're better than, let's say, China or all these other countries, Russia? If we don't have that push, we're not going to have that inventiveness, and we might not have that economic boom, especially if we still do restrictions. Mike, take 1-877-DOT-7-4.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got?
needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers, but if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need, just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. Advertise at GCNlive.com.